Mrs. Hoke, Mr. Herman.
Good morning, Your Honors. My name is Bob Herman. I represent the defendant, Mr. Hoke, who appeared for sentencing on the issue of whether or not he should be sentenced below the sentencing guidelines, and the judge initiated. He began the sentencing hearing by announcing that he would sentence within the guidelines prior to the time of any allocution by the defendant under the...
I don't understand. I would think in general it's to the benefit of a defendant in his allocution if he has a sense of what the judge is thinking. As long as the judge hasn't said, I'm going to sentence you regardless of what you say, it would enable the defendant to focus on what is important to the judge.
Well, if the judge is determining already that the sentencing guidelines are applicable,
if the judge is if it's tentative, if it's subject to what he hears from the defendant, then I think the defendant is benefited by knowing the drift of the judge's thinking.
Well, Your Honor, what it is nothing more than a statement that the judge is indicating his assumption that the guidelines are reasonable. And under U.S. versus Nelson...
Don't you think judges have preconceptions when they're...
Your Honor, if I appeared at trial and the judge began the trial by announcing that I think the defendant is guilty, but let's have the trial anyway... regardless of the fact that I think many judges feel that way, that it does not prevent that from being a structural error.
Does the record here show the judge had made his mind up?
The judge says the sentence will be within the advisory guidelines.
What else does he say?
He says it will be within the guidelines, which I find to be an offense level 32 with a criminal history category of 1.
But then a huge amount goes on, and the judge says, you know, I'm looking for some reason to do things. This is not like Lupke, where the judge actually pronounces sentence. And I'm a little troubled at the idea that a judge saying, I think the guidelines are reasonable, can mean only I'm finding them presumptively reasonable. He might mean, in your case, I've thought about it, and this seems like a reasonable starting point, but let's hear what you have to say. Because the judge then says, let's go through the 3553A factors, let's go through all the rest of this, we'd have to assume Judge Gilbert wanted a pointless exercise.
No, it seems to me that under U.S. versus Nelson, a beginning by the judge, if the judge begins with the idea that the sentencing guidelines are reasonable, he violates the law, the directive from the Supreme Court that the judge shall not, in trying to get away from the years of the...
Well, what the court said is not presumptively reasonable, but that means you don't put a burden on somebody, but you can certainly... I'm surprised that you can't think in a particular case that the guidelines suggest something that's a reasonable sentence.
Well, Your Honor, I think if the judge starts out with a presumption... that he's going to take certain actions.
He didn't use the word presumption, did he?
He doesn't have to use the word presumption, nor does he have, in U.S. versus Nelson, he didn't have to use the word presumption. He just has to indicate this is what I'm going to do. You can assume that by him indicating that's what he's going to do before he hears any evidence on allocution, that he's assuming that the guidelines are presumptively reasonable.
Well, later on he says the court will be considering the 3553A factors as well as the advisory guidelines in issuing its decision.
That's
all
true.
To be disregarded?
Your Honor, it's the same, like I say, it's the same as if the judge starts out by saying, I think you're guilty, but I'll go ahead and listen to your evidence, but I've already made up my mind, or pretty much made up my mind.
He said the court will be considering the 353 factors.
After he's already said...
Oh, let me finish,
sorry,
would you,
Your Honor,
please? As well as the advisory guidelines.
But he's already...
Well, they're advisory, and he says he's going to consider the sentencing factors. What more do you want?
Just prior to that, page 5 of the transcript on line 15, he says the sentence will be within the guidelines.
But on your theory, which again is contrary to our law, there's no way that a judge can correct a potential error about thinking the guidelines are presumptively reasonable. There's no way the judge can say, you know, I'm sorry, I shouldn't have said that, but let's go back and now do the sentencing right. And that's actually not what the cases say.
Well, if he'd have said, I'm sorry, I shouldn't have said that, let's go back and start over again, I probably wouldn't be standing here arguing this point. But he didn't. He said, I've made up my mind. I think they're reasonable. Well, I mean,
what did he say? He made up his mind.
He doesn't say it, Judge, but he does it. He acts in accordance with what he says is his decision, without any caveat. His decision is that the sentence will be within the guidelines. That is a statement by the judge that he finds them to be presumptively reasonable. What else can that be? There isn't anything else that can be. When the judge says, this is what I've decided to do, now let's hear the evidence.
He didn't say that. You keep embroidering what
well,
he said.
Why don't you leave it
with what he said?
I am staying with what he says, and I've read it to you, Judge. You can read it for yourself. Page 5, line 15, he says...
I read it, yeah.
Okay. I think that, just to mention another point, that the... I think the judge has undermined the plea of guilty, the validity of the plea of guilty, by saying that he doesn't really believe that the defendant believes he's guilty, but he accepts the guilty plea anyway. I think that undermines the plea of guilty. And I recognizing that it's difficult to get a plea of guilty reversed, I think that in this particular situation, where the judge recognizes that the defendant really doesn't believe he's guilty, he should not have accepted the plea of guilty, and he should not have continued at that point to act on that presumption.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Herman. Mr. Norwood?
Good morning, Your Honors, and may it please the Court. Under this Court's precedent, as far as the framework for sentencing defendants after the Booker case, the starting point is for the court to make the guideline or an advisory guideline calculation, and that this court has said that's the starting point from which the district court judge then applies the 3553A factors.
That's all true. I mean, you've conceded more or less, though, that this judge at best misspoke when he said it's going to be a guideline sentence.
I think misspoke might have been the best word. It might have been an inarticulate phrasing by Judge Gilbert, but it appears clear to the government that he had not made up his mind at this point. The context of it was, and I think I put this in my brief, the context was Judge Gilbert had just given this defendant a break by not enhancing the defendant's guideline sentence for obstruction of justice for lying. So the guideline range would have been 151 months to 188 months. The Judge Gilbert had just given him a break, which reduced that range to 121 months. And I think that Judge Gilbert I think if Judge Gilbert would have said, this is where I'll be starting at the advisory guideline range, that's perfectly acceptable. I think it might be an inartful phrase by Judge Gilbert. But it's clear that he then tells the defense counsel, says, of course, we're not bound by the guidelines. And the district court says, yeah, they're advisory, and then listens to argument. And Judge Gilbert says, and the court will be considering the 3553A factors as well as the advisory guidelines in issuing an appropriate sentence. And that's just what Judge Gilbert did. I think what's interesting to note is that even at the time of allocution, the defendant still had not accepted responsibility and was still denying that he committed the acts to which he pled guilty to.
Which, of course, is consistent with the rest of his appeal, because he thinks he should be able to withdraw the guilty plea.
Well,
so at least that much holds together.
I understand, but I think Judge Gilbert's remark says it great. Judge Gilbert sat through the evidence at trial and said, you know, regardless of what you think, you were receiving and possessing child pornography. Whether you want to admit it to yourself and to your family is a different matter, but that's, in fact, what you were doing, and that's what the evidence proved. And I think, you know, even when we're at that point of sentencing where Judge Gilbert is trying to give the defendant any benefit and any break, and the defendant still comes up to him and says, I still didn't do the crime, even though I've pled guilty to it, and then come back and lied about it, Judge Gilbert's sentence was reasonable under the circumstances. And again, it's not like the Lupke case where the judge actually said, I'm committing you to the Bureau of Prisons, explaining the terms of supervised release, going through the entire process, and then coming back and saying, oh, you have something to say to me. It was not like that at all. The defendant put on plenty of mitigating evidence for Judge Gilbert to consider.
Okay. Thank you. Okay, thank you, Mr. Norwood. And thank you, Mr. Herman. And you were appointed, were you not? So we thank you for your efforts on behalf of your client.